Welcome to Special Needs Navigators, ABCs of Disability Planning podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I'm glad you're here. My name is Eric Jorgensen. I created this podcast to help parents navigate the maze of benefits, resources, and services. I'm on this journey with you. My son is on the spectrum. I was widowed in 2012, and I beat cancer in 2020. I get that life throws us curveballs. Every week, my guests and I do a deep dive into things our families may come across. I don't spend too much time focusing on a specific disability. My intent is to help as many families as possible. You may already be familiar with some of these topics, others, not so much. My goal is to increase awareness of and provide context around what's available, when to use it, and, if applicable, how to apply it. Let's dive in. Welcome, everyone. For those of you that do not know me, my name is Eric Jorgensen. I am the founder of Special Needs Navigator. I started Special Needs Navigator to help families navigate the maze of benefits, resources, and services. Today, I will be interviewing Andrew Parker, the co-founder of Nested. Nested is a very unique resource. I haven't found anything else like it in the market. What they're doing is they are buying residential homes, places for families to live, and they are leasing them back to the residential agencies that had owned the homes originally. Now, this is a fantastic resource because owning real estate can be very expensive. And if you're a nonprofit with very small margins and you're trying to provide residential supports based off of your state funding and or what you get from donors, it can be pretty difficult to keep up with the house as well. What Nested is bringing to the table is the ability for the nonprofit to focus on what they do very well, which is provide residential supports. Nested is bringing in all the team that they need to be a property management company and maintain that house. And I'm going to let Andrew talk in more detail about the programs and the types of services Nested offers. I'm pretty excited about this. I really can't wait to dive into how Nested is going to be expanding these services to families like mine. And with that, we're going to really quick touch on who Andrew is, some background about him, some background about Nested, and then we're going to dive into the meat and potatoes of how Nested can help a family like yours. Andrew, welcome. Thank you for agreeing to meet with us today.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
Would you mind giving us a little bit background about yourself? What brought you into the disability world? What led to you founding Nested with your partner?
Sure. What brought us in and my partner, Dad, and I founded the company 4 years ago. What brought us into the space was really just an amazement with how much real estate activity care agencies were tasked with doing, whether by design or not. So Dad and I were in the real estate business, market rate apartment buildings. We were buying and fixing things up and selling buildings, leasing them out to young professionals. And Dad and I both have some family connections or familiarity with IDD housing and IDD waivers services. And we were helping a mutual friend work with a daughter of theirs figuring out the waiver structure. And the daughter was turning 22 and was aging out of the school funding program and figuring out a long-term strategy for her and her family. And the more we were learning about that, the more amazed we were by the agencies and the care providers that she and her family were speaking to. They were more in the real estate business than we were, and they didn't really want to be. They were really good at providing care and services, knowing how to create individual service plans and knowing how to provide the right types of supports and staff in the home. They had sort of made themselves pretty good at owning and operating real estate, but that was sort of an extra burden for them that it wasn't their business. It wasn't what they wanted to be doing. So we sort of saw right there, we didn't really approach it as a business opportunity, but we thought we could help provide some, you know, cut the grass and clear the snow off the driveway and fix the dishwasher when they had problems, make their lives a little easier. So we did that. And the more we got into the space, the more we thought, hey, these companies, these care agencies want to be here for a long time. We know we're going to do a good job of taking care of these homes. We also know that in our previous business, we had a ton of turnover. We had young professionals coming in, living in our apartments for a year. They would move out. We'd have to release it. And we said, hey, if we can provide great community homes, great IDD waiver homes, these organizations or individuals who live in the home are going to stay there for a really long time. And it's going to take a big burden off the plate of these care agencies. So we started in Philadelphia. We bought and leased 4 waiver houses, community homes, to an organization in Philadelphia. And today we're up to about 120 something single family houses and a few more commercial properties that we lease to about 25 different care agencies in 10 states.
Wow. So you're not limited to Pennsylvania by any means. You mentioned 10 states, and you can really work in any state, correct? Any of the 50?
Yes, that's right. So we can work anywhere. And the reason why I can say that confidently is that the challenge to working anywhere, as everyone can probably guess, is if the dishwasher breaks, the sink's clogged up, and you live in Chicago and your house is in Nebraska, how are you going to get it fixed? And what we have done to solve that problem is we've tapped into a existing network of vendors and contractors who are out there to serve the hundreds of thousands of single family homes that have been purchased since the 2008 recession. And we are plugged into those networks. So we sort of took advantage of and rode the coattails a little bit of an industry that they call it SFR, single family rental, that had grown in the wake of the 08 recession. And now there's all these services and ways to manage scattered site single family homes really, really effectively. We make sure that every vendor, every contractor that goes into our house, our home, background checked, criminal background checked, they'd go through an IDD training. The people in the homes get sort of familiar with the folks who are coming in to fix things. And we send a lot of work to these vendors so they like us and keep coming back. And we've sort of branded that part of our business Nested 360, which is a maintenance arm. We take care of the homes that we own. And we also contract with care agencies and groups to take care of houses that they own and operate as IDD homes.
So I want to capture that, Andrew, for the agencies that are watching and that I'll be working with. An agency doesn't necessarily have to sell you the house and have you lease it back to them for you to provide the maintenance. If I understand you correctly, what you said is under the Nested 360 model, you'll be the property manager for their homes, allowing them, maybe they're not ready to sell the homes, or maybe they have, you know, a HUD loan that's just too hard to get out from, but you'll still do the maintenance.
That's right, exactly. That's how we maintain our own homes. So we take care of them. When a ticket comes in and says there's a crack in the floor tile in the bathroom, our team that sees that, they don't even know if it's a house that we own or a house that it's a third party house. So we take care of them all just as if we own them ourselves.
And that's a great way to do it, because with that in mind, your staff would have no reason, or the contractors would have no reason to treat the home any different, to your point, because they're just getting a contract. They have no idea. Right. I like that. I like that model. Before I dive into the families, could you touch on what is an agency who maybe they own 10, 15 homes and scattered around a couple different neighborhoods and it's getting to be overwhelming for them? What's the experience like for them? What would they be doing to start with you?
So that experience, and this is, you know, a generalization, mm-hmm. All agencies sort of have built up different systems and protocols of managing those 12 homes differently, but they'll typically have maybe 6 to 8 staff people who are in charge of receiving information about the home, dispatching that information out to vendors who need to fix things in the home, making sure the grass gets cut, making sure the driveway gets plowed in the winter. And those individuals are also in charge of or have some responsibility over the individual service plans for the consumers who are in the home, which is the important thing, you know, why we're all here and watching this video, is those people in the home have plans that need to be executed and they need to be developing as individuals and getting great service and being taken to their day programs or looking for a job or whatever their goals are. And when the dishwasher breaks, you don't know that you can have an individual service plan for someone, but you don't know when the dishwasher is going to break. So that breaks and their system sort of distracts or takes away from what these employees of the agency who are really good at providing care and developing the consumers in the home. The dishwasher breaks at one house and the roof's leaking at another house and it's Memorial Day weekend, that throws everything else off, right? What we tell them is, one, if you sell the 12 houses to us, you're going to get a bunch of money, right? We're going to buy the houses for market value. So then you can utilize that capital to grow your agency business or deploy and do whatever your core focuses are. You know you're going to have the house for as long as you want it. We've signed 5-year leases, 10-year leases, 15-year leases with agency options to renew. and you're going to free up these six or eight people to either take care of more individuals. You can grow your agency and provide care to more individuals, which is helpful because there's a big wait list for a lot of these services, and or provide better services to the individuals that you already take care of, because you're not, you don't have to worry about the dishwasher that's broken. You can focus on finding a job or helping someone find a job or get to their day program. And that's what these employees signed up to do. That's what they love to do. And so the experience is, you know, just like a CVS or a Walgreens, they don't own the property that they're operating the store out of because that's not their business. We encourage them to consider that type of thinking where there's no reason why you need to own these properties and, you know, be refinancing mortgages or figuring out ways how to acquire new properties via mortgages. We're set up to do that as fast as anyone. If you own the property, we're going to pay you the full fair price for it. And we encourage the agencies to sort of look at it from a business perspective and focus on what they're really, really good at doing. And then we prove to them that we're good at operating the real estate for them.
I've been a board member for a couple agencies. One of them, the Arc Montgomery County, owns and operates properties. And I can attest to everything you said. As an outsider looking in, I can imagine how it'd be easy for staff members, maybe the faucet's leaking, they go, oh, I need to make a report of that. And then they get caught up, you know, doing what they're supposed to be, direct support for, you know, whoever they're supporting. Not that they ignore the faucet, they forget about it because they're taking care of this other thing. Eventually, the faucet might get bigger or what have you, right? And then when you're renting a property and knowing that you're not going to be asking somebody else that you work with who's already overwhelmed to take care of it, that you know, I feel like you're a little more inclined to reach out for the help because you don't feel like you're being a burden to somebody.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. And I think the first thing you mentioned where someone notices something and it sort of goes on and it's still functioning, but it probably should be fixed. And next thing you know, it's 8 months later and now the pipe's burst. That sounds like sort of a rare occurrence, and it is. When you own or operate 20 houses, that's going to happen once a year, and that's a big dollar amount to stomach each year. So just preventing that right off the bat, I think we've seen a lot of cases where we've saved organizations 50%+ operating on their property operating costs just by putting them on regular maintenance schedules and doing preventative work and identifying when the air conditioner needs to be replaced now before it breaks in the middle of the summer and that kind of thing.
I can believe it, Andrew. And it's a good segue into families, because families are often, I think about aging parents who might be in their 60s, 70s, 80s, they have an adult child living with them. Sometimes they have a really big house, but almost always they have a house that they want their child to remain in. And it becomes this, who's going to take care of the house, or how can I fund my special needs trust, or will I have enough money to pay property taxes, make sure the maintenance gets done on the house? How do I make sure the trustee is actually getting the work done on the house that needs to be done? Coming in, doing the inspections once a year to make sure the stuff is done. And if you have a child or an adult child with a disability, doing the inspections to see if anything's broken, right? Because the child or the adult may not know to say anything. And this is where, to me, when I was talking with you, I was getting really excited about this, is because all of those problems or concerns can be addressed by working with Nested. I mean, while parents are alive, they can sell the house to you. You can lease the house back to the parents with the adult child. And then the parents can know that when they're gone, the adult child doesn't have to move, because they have a house that's been set up for them. They've gotten to know you while the parents are alive. So there's no unknown who's going to own the house, who's going to maintain the house. It's all taken care of. I mean, that to me as a parent is pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to be here, and just, you know, you're being humble. But so make sure the viewers know that situation you sort of described was your idea. Eric and I were talking and I was saying, look, we work mostly with care agencies. They take care of, say, you know, a half million or a little bit more of adults with IDD. There's probably at least that number, if maybe double that number, adults with IDD who live at home with parents, many of whom are getting older and looking for a plan for the future. You know, we've been approached by some of these families and we've always loved the idea of working with them. The challenge has been figuring out a way to structure it where not knowing when the parents may pass on or not knowing if the individuals want to live with someone else, figuring all of that out and asking the families to figure all that out has sort of held up our growth in this area. But Eric, to your point, I think that the strategy you sort of described where we purchase a house, we lease it back to the parents who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s. They don't have to go anywhere. hopefully they're there for 30 more years. But when they pass on, we have agreed, Nested has now your the trust or the trustee or your child has become the tenant of the home, and they're going to be there for as long as they want, and that they can fund the trust with the money we pay them to purchase the house. And I think it's just a really nice, and you know what, and people, you know, what's in it for us is, look, I mean, we want to, in addition to solving this problem, sometimes people say, well, what's in this for you from a business perspective? And the answer is long-term tenancy is valuable. And people who, I think people, and I say this to care agencies a lot, is you, a care agency or a family, you have an asset here. You have an advantage that you can take, you have an asset you can take advantage of by saying, I'm going to live here for a long time. And for an organization like us, that's attractive, because you're going to be there for a long time and we can get better financing, you know, because we have a longer term lease. And so we can pay you more for the house and provide good full market value for your property. And that's always something I like to get into these discussions, because sometimes people have the idea that, you know, we're either too good to be true or they're missing something. And I like sharing what our business case is here when I go to investors and banks who finance our properties. And I say, these care agencies are really good. They've been around for a while. We're going to do a great job taking care of the home. Look at the 120 we have right now. We're doing a good job. And as long as we do that, they sign a 10-year lease. They're going to very likely to renew that. And we're going to have people there for a long period of time, which gives us, you know, better financing and better access to capital to pay full market for these houses. And it's really, I don't always like the cliche win-win, but that's sort of the situation that we're talking in here.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point, Andrew. For those of you that are watching that have never really looked into owning rental properties, it's not as simple as saying the rent covers the mortgage or anything like that. When I'm working with families who do rentals, 10 to 20% of their income, I tell them to set that aside to cover vacancies. Now, if you're paying $1,000 or if you're getting $1,000 in rent and you're setting aside $100 to $200 a month, that's a lot of money. So to Andrew's point about making sure you have this long-term tenancy, this long-term individual living in this, I mean, that saves, that could be $12,000 a year, which is $100 times 12, you know, or $1,200 a year, and then you multiply that by 10, and then you multiply that by 100 homes, right? So now you're looking at a lot of money that having these long-term rental agreements really does save Nested. Now, from the practical perspective, to speak to the families about how this would work, who would pay the rent? After mom and dad are gone, and it's just the individual with disability, because the trust can't pay for housing or food without jeopardizing Social Security if you're collecting SSI, what you would want to do is you would want to make sure you have an ABLE account set up first. And this is outside of Andrew's realm. This is more for the families who are watching at this point. You would have the money from the trust go to the ABLE account to fund the ABLE account every year. And in 2020, you can put in up to $15,000 a year into that ABLE account to pay for the lease, to pay Nested for whatever you need in rent. So what you would probably want to do ahead of time is put extra money into the ABLE account over time. But the advantage you have is you would know how much you're going to need to pay for that lease. This is very different than you trying to go out and find a home for your child to live in while you're living at your house and subsidizing their rent while you're paying property taxes and insurance on yours if you're fortunate enough to have your mortgage paid off, or, which is more often the case, you're paying for your mortgage and you're paying for rent for your child with a disability because their Social Security just isn't enough to cover it all. Instead of having those two payments, you would have one payment for the house that all three of you are living in. Your child would be a place that he or she are very comfortable in because they're very familiar with the layout. You can still have support staff come to the house if you're using self-directed. The support staff can still come to your house. You can still get everything you need done. So I echo Andrew's sentiment about this being a win-win. It really does benefit the families, it benefits the individual with the disability, and it benefits Nested. You know, so Andrew, is there anything that this is meant to be an introduction? It's not meant to be talking families' ears off, but I definitely think I'll be having you back on to do a case study or talk through a case study. Is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't ask you, or anything you want to make sure you capture before we sign off today?
I don't think so. No, I'm excited to speak to families who are interested in this kind of model. And we work with, we lease houses to 25, 30, probably maybe 30 at this point, care agencies. We work with another 20 or 30 that we manage houses for, and they all do things a little differently. And that's going to be the case with families too. They want, you know, there's different things that are important to them or their children. And that's what my, the really bottom line of my business is, of our business is providing capital and real estate services to meet the desires and specific goals of individuals with disabilities and their families or care providers. So I'm excited to really explore this. And I think I told Eric right when he said it, and I think he knew it before I did, that I thought he was really onto something with his concept. So nothing in particular to add, except I'm excited to talk through it with everyone.
Awesome. And Andrew, is email the best way to connect with you, or should they go to the website and somebody, if they do a contact us on the website, somebody from your team will get back to you? Do you have a preference?
Yeah, you can do that, but feel free to email me. Email me is probably best.
Awesome. So I'm going to have all your contact information up on the description of the video. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for coming. And like I said, I'm sure we're going to be doing more of these, because this is, I think this can really go places, and I really want to make sure more families know about it.
I agree. Hey, thanks for having me on, Eric.
Thank you for listening to the ABCs of Disability Planning podcast. We invite your feedback and comments. Please feel free to leave a review wherever you are listening, and don't forget to hit like, follow, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more information, please visit us at www.specialneedsnavigator.us.